Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987. Also editor of PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, covering the worlds of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts with daily news features, editorials, flashbacks, trivia, live TV and pay-per-view coverage, and so much more. That's PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com. We're also here Monday nights immediately following Raw, Tuesday nights immediately following SmackDown, Wednesdays at 1 Eastern, Thursdays at 1 Eastern, and a post-impact show Thursday nights and the Friday primetime show, plus Sunday nights after major pay-per-views, including this Sunday after Fastlane, right here at PWTorchLivecast.com. We take your calls and discuss pro wrestling live each of those days during each of those time slots, but you can find our show on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com or subscribe on popular podcast feeds such as iTunes, Stitcher, and so much more. Monday Night Raw just completed here on Monday, February 27th, 2017. I would call it one of the weaker Raws I've seen in a while, ending with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in a big brawl at a contract signing to make official, the match that was announced a few weeks back. Braun Strowman said he was worried that Roman Reigns would back out of the match if Mick Foley didn't make him sign a contract. The final scene of Raw was a beaten, battered Roman Reigns crawling up out of the desk and signing the contract, showing no matter what Braun Strowman does to him, he's game. He's ready for a fight. We're going to take your phone calls. Let's talk about Raw. Let's talk about Fastlane. The number to call if you want to get in line on our phone banks is 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Programming note, I'm planning on attending SmackDown Live tomorrow in St. Paul at XL Energy Center. So Pat McNeil and Greg Parks will unite for a special post-SmackDown show that they'll be hosting as soon as SmackDown goes off the air. So join Pat and Greg tomorrow night. Also, Greg Parks will be covering SmackDown for PWTorch.com, returning to the chair he held for 10 years, covering SmackDown as it airs tomorrow night as AJ Styles tries to earn a WrestleMania main event. Can he do it against Luke Harper? We'll see. All right. Well, on today's program, I've got a first-time co-host. And without further ado, let's find him on the oh my gosh, you guys have added so many callers to the list here, or so many people are calling in, I've lost track. There we go. Mike, oh, I'm going to try to get your last name right. Chikari, is that right, Mike? I had to do it.
See, the guys are going to kill me on the show. They're going to kill me for that. it's Chiari, but you were close.
Yeah, Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio. They are a show also hosted here at the Blog Talk Radio Network. Mike, I'm sorry. I could not resist. I have your pronunciation all typed up on my computer screen and could have done it the right way, but I just could not resist. So,
thanks so much. Well, I appreciate that. We're all for that on Ring Rust Radio.
Yes. So now you have been a featured columnist at Bleacher Report since 2011. You have been a co-host of Ring Rust Radio here on the Blog Talk Radio Network since 2012. You've been part of interviews with that you've done on the show with Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, even Bruno Sammartino from back in the day. It's great to have you on the program. By the way, programming note, I will be the guest of the Ring Rust Radio crew this week on the show. When does the weekly Ring Rust Radio show drop typically, Mike?
It drops every Wednesday night. It's usually somewhere around 10, 11 o'clock at night. But, we like to do one long show as opposed to a bunch of shorter shows. So we just have everybody consume it all at one time. Over the course of the week, it usually takes people probably to listen to the show. So, but yeah, Wednesday night, that's going to be available, and really great interview with you, and I think people are really going to enjoy that.
Yeah, we talked earlier today for, I don't know, close to a half hour, I think, about how WrestleMania is looking. We talked also about some NXT TakeOver, the NXT TakeOver lineup. You guys will be there WrestleMania weekend from Ring Rust Radio. We've been running some promos on the show here talking about a contest you've got going, and we'll be running that ad again coming up here in a moment. But let's shift for now, Mike, to some conversation about Raw. First of all, do you agree? I got the sense from following on Twitter and just obviously my own opinion watching the show, flat crowd, relatively flat show. Do you disagree with that? And what do you, well, start with that. What was your assessment of the show?
Well, I think flat is probably the perfect way to describe it. Definitely the crowd. It's, for me, it was one of the weaker crowds I can remember, you know, for quite some time. It just felt like even for the moments where generally they would pop or they would react to something, like, I'm personally not a big Goldberg guy, but I understand the value in a guy like Goldberg, and pretty much every time Goldberg goes out there, he gets that big reaction. Even the Goldberg entrance didn't get any type of reaction to kick off a Raw, where they should be at their hottest, the crowd. So I think that kind of set the tone for the entire show. But then, in the same respect, they weren't given a lot to get excited about. I mean, I think that you have Raw is a victim of the three-hour time slot. I think that everybody kind of realizes that at this point. So you have all this filler. You have Titus O'Neil against Sheamus. You have New Day kind of stuck in no man's land. You have all this stuff that doesn't really contribute much to the show. Big Show against the Shining Stars. And then so when you do have something that I find to be really good, like the Seth Rollins segment with Triple H, the crowd is they're barely even there. And then you get some CM Punk chants filtering in and stuff that just really shouldn't be happening when you actually have something that you could get legitimately excited about. So I think that the flat crowd contributed to it. But by and large, maybe a couple segments that kind of get you excited for Fastlane, get you excited for the road to WrestleMania. But I think a lot of it was just filler. And that's something that's been a problem, I think, for Raw for a really long time.
Well, and I thought last week's show was one of the better Raws, a memorable Raw that people would talk about for quite a while. And it did seem like they followed it up with a stink of a program. Obviously, a good crowd can make a below average show seem above average or average. And a bad crowd can take a good show down a notch. I thought this was that imperfect storm of a dead crowd and a lackluster show. I mean, there just wasn't a lot to it. I mean, when you start with Goldberg, and by the end of the show, you've practically forgotten 3 hours and 10 minutes later, you know, or 3 hours later, that he was even on. I mean, I think that a lot of the anticipation for Kevin Owens Goldberg that I thought was pretty high last week dropped off this week. I mean, I'm not a huge Goldberg fan in terms of the promo ability that he has ever shown in big match segments or just, you know, whatever. I mean, he's never been real strong on the mic. I think he tried to acknowledge that in the show opening promo, saying, you know, Kevin Owens talked and talked and talked, and I'm not here to do that. It was, I would say, an acceptable promo from Goldberg. He didn't stray too far from his character. But I also didn't get really amped up. I didn't get the feeling that the crowd did. I didn't get the feeling that he got Goldberg fans all that excited about the notion that he would be Universal Champion. To me, this was the week, rather than just making fun of Kevin Owens, I would have written a promo for Goldberg talking about what becoming champion means to him. And he addressed it. He said he promised his family that he'd become champion, and he's going to keep – he said he's kept every promise he's ever made. So let's get the fact checkers switched off of Donald Trump and onto that. Let's find out if that's true. But – I wanted if Goldberg's going to win on Sunday or he's going to get screwed out of the title on Sunday, Mike, I kind of want to hear Goldberg talk about how damn important that championship is to him. And I thought he kind of spent a lot more time on making fun of Kevin Owens than he did talking about what that title means to him.
I agree. I think that with Goldberg, it was a basic type of Goldberg promo. It's nothing that we haven't heard him say before, essentially. And I think that what you're talking about with him kind of trying to allude to the importance of the Universal title, I think that's a problem with a lot of championships in WWE, and it has been for a long time. It's, you know, really as a champion, it's something that I think that Triple H did, you know, during his prime a lot better than almost anybody else, is always focusing on the championship and why it matters. It's something that I think The Miz did really well during his IC title run, and a reason why he made the IC title feel more important than it has in a really long time, because everything was about keeping that title, for winning that title and telling you why it was important. He would say that the IC title is the most important title in WWE, and he would explain why every single time. Whereas for Goldberg, we don't really know why he wants the Universal Championship. He came back to do video game stuff. He came back to face Brock Lesnar. He wanted to be in the Royal Rumble. Didn't win it, even though we were told that's the only way he could win the Universal Championship. And then, I'll just go and be in a Universal Championship match anyways. And we haven't really... And now he's looking ahead even past that and talking about facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So why are we supposed to care about this match and how that's going to impact his match against Brock Lesnar when really I think the focus is further down the road to WrestleMania. So I think that was an issue with this. I thought that Kevin Owens did a good job in his promo, maybe not to the extent of last week, but in terms of kind of further establishing his serious heel character, running down his list of accomplishments, saying why he's going to beat Goldberg. I thought that was well done, but I do agree that there wasn't enough of a spotlight on the Universal Championship necessarily.
I did like Goldberg's comeback after Kevin Owens talked, going, as entertaining as your speech was, it did nothing but piss me off. I thought that was probably the high point for Goldberg, just because that's, you know, Goldberg just kind of, he's the guy who's going to sit there and listen and then just get pissed off about it. I thought that fit his character. I thought Owens had a good comeback saying, I don't speak Neanderthal, but it sounded like you wanted to fight right now. And then he took the dig at the Green Bay fans. I do want to talk about other segments on the show. We're going to go to our first break, and then we're going to start taking some phone calls, too. I want to talk about the Seth Rollins segment that was either a library atmosphere or a place for a few people to chant CM Punk and a couple other things during the segment, not an encouraging ovation for Seth Rollins. And we'll also talk about the Strowman-Roman hype and the fact that, you know, we talk about this being a dead crowd. I think it's Roman Reigns' favorite TV crowd ever because he actually got a Roman chant when he entered the ring after brawling with Braun. Can you remember, Mike, a Roman chant on a live TV show?
I want to say the last time maybe it happened is when he won the WWE Championship in Philadelphia. And, surprisingly, that, one year later from when he won the Royal Rumble, all of a sudden the Philadelphia fans were behind him. But I think it's funny because, and, you know, obviously we'll get more into it, but they got the desired reaction. And then instead of just ending on that high note, they went and did more in the segment, which I felt was unnecessary.
Yeah. Yep. Good point. All right. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to start taking your calls. So give us a call. 515-605-9345. Mike Chiari. Did I do it?
You got it.
Oh, good. Mike Chiari is my guest. he is from Ring Rust Radio, and we are talking Monday Night Raw tonight. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we're back live here on Monday night following Raw. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio. Mike, how can people follow you on Twitter? Oh, you know what? You've now had the honor of having your mic muted as I ask, while I'm asking you a question. So now we've initiated you. Go ahead, Mike. How do people follow you on Twitter?
They can find me at Mike Chiari, Chiari, on Twitter, and they can also follow Ring Rust Radio on Twitter.
At Ring Rust Radio. Yes, very good. All right. Probably implied, but just wanted to clarify. All right, very good. You can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller and follow our brand at PW Torch and follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. Let's go into more conversation now with callers about tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. By the way, you can email us too during the show, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Let's start with Kareem from New Jersey. Kareem, thanks for calling tonight. What's on your mind?
Hey, Wade. I'm not sure what the other host's name is, so I apologize
for not knowing. Mike
Chiari. Okay, Mike.
No, Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio. Yep. You can call him Mike.
Okay, Mike. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good, I just got a couple quick things. Here's the thing. I don't think WWE, I really wish they wouldn't even have all these extra pay-per-views anymore when they have the network. They should just have random network specials to get people excited, because when they have these go-home shows now, we don't even get the excitement of the go-home. I don't even understand how they expect us to even care about Fastlane when all they talk about is WrestleMania, and the fact that we think we have an idea that they're going to put the belt on Goldberg. It's just like, what incentive do we have to even watch Sunday based on the show that they put on tonight? And the other thing is, the story, they don't, what storylines, I know the WrestleMania seems like it's going to be real Raw-centric, but if you look at it, I don't even know what strong storylines they have coming out of Raw based on the fact that we don't have a clear indication if it's going to be Taker, Reigns, or anything like that, or what Samoa Joe's doing, or people that the crowd actually seems like they want to see wrestle. We don't know what they're doing. So what strong storylines do they have coming out of Raw, and what have they even done to build up Fastlane and going from Fastlane to Mania?
All right, thanks, Kareem. Mike, anything? Oh, well, go ahead and respond to this question. I don't need to rephrase it. What do you think?
Yeah, well, with regard to the extra pay-per-views, I personally was not a proponent of the brand split, largely because of what it meant in terms of adding additional pay-per-views. And I think that around it's more an issue around WrestleMania time, because I always liked when you would have just Elimination Chamber after the Royal Rumble, and then you'd have an extra long build toward WrestleMania. But this time around, what's going to happen because of Fastlane is you're only going to have a month on the Raw side to build things up toward WrestleMania. And to his point, I mean, you know that you're going to get Brock Lesnar against Goldberg, probably the main event, probably for the Universal Championship. But outside of that, the fact that you're only going to have a month to build the rest of your card, it's obviously going to be Kevin Owens against Chris Jericho. You get the indication it's going to be Seth Rollins against Triple H. You don't know what's going on with Samoa Joe yet. You don't know what's going on with Finn Balor yet. There's a lot of uncertainty. You don't know what's going on with the tag team division. You don't know for sure what's going on with the women's division. And now you're going to only have a short amount of time to build toward these things, when I feel like, by and large, WrestleMania should be the culmination of storylines that have been going on for several months in a perfect world. That doesn't always happen, and it's not going to happen with every single match. But when it comes to Raw, kind of hamstring what they can do creatively leading up to WrestleMania and building up long and fulfilling storylines.
You know, one of the challenges they have in WrestleMania season is not announcing the full lineup too far ahead, to the point that I think has happened in some recent years, where 3 weeks out, you're like, get it over with already. And then you have this situation where you wonder, are they going to have enough time after they get out of Fastlane to shift their focus entirely to the WrestleMania matches? This might have been better if Fastlane took place last Sunday, not this Sunday. It's just a scheduling issue, but it does feel like now we're going to go from WrestleMania is a long ways away to, holy crap, it's coming up in 4 weeks. And all this attention that they've paid to all what's going on SmackDown, who's going to be the number one contender, and now having to kind of hype Fastlane at the same time that they're hyping WrestleMania is a challenge. I will say, in defense of this, it at least we're not sitting here with a full WrestleMania lineup since basically the Royal Rumble or shortly thereafter, where we're watching the shows and it's just the same matches being talked about over and over again. I think there's some semblance of there's a positive aspect to people being eager to just turn the page to WrestleMania hype, which is maybe it will peak at the right time and not peak too early in terms of the anticipation. A lot of this will just change come Monday. I mean, the entire focus, especially if they resolve the issue or at least forward it to a near resolution tomorrow night on SmackDown, it's going to be fine. We're going to be in full-fledged WrestleMania mode with 4 weeks to go. And then it's up to them to get people excited about this lineup. We talked about it earlier on your show, Mike, and it'll drop Wednesday for livecast listeners. They want to hear Ring Rust Radio. Is this a strong lineup of WrestleMania compared to recent years? Mike, go ahead and state your opinion on how the WrestleMania lineup is taking shape. Are you with Kareem in that, you're not particularly excited, even if it's Raw heavy, with the storylines that are coming out of it for Mania?
I think that by and large, you have time matches. You have the type of matches that you could put on a marquee and that could get the maybe the casual fan excited, like a Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. Personally, not for me, but I can see it, how there's going to be a large contingent of fans that are looking forward to that. And you're probably going to have The Undertaker against Roman Reigns, which will be an interesting dynamic with the live crowd. Almost obviously going to be strongly behind The Undertaker. If Seth Rollins and Triple H happens, that's an interesting match. But at the same time, I feel like you have guys who have been integral over the last year that may not be in very important spots, and I think that could be a little bit of an issue for WrestleMania for more of the hardcore fan base, like guys who want to, you know, guys and girls who want to see AJ Styles in a high-profile match, and, you know, the rumor out there is he's going to face Shane McMahon. And, you know, that's a high-profile match because it's against a McMahon, but it's not the championship match, or John Cena in a tag team match against The Miz. I mean, it's John Cena, and that just doesn't feel like a WrestleMania-level match for a John Cena. And then you have Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, which should be a great match, and it's been a great storyline playing out over the course of the year, but it may not be in a featured area on the card. And I think that's kind of what the issue is. I'm a proponent for the part-time guy and using them in WrestleMania, and I never am going to complain about that, but I will complain if they're put in positions where it knocks guys who have worked hard over the course of the year and earn the right to be in a top match if it knocks them down into position that they don't deserve to be in. So I think that's what my issue is. Having like Brock Lesnar against Goldberg for the Universal Championship in the main event, I get why you want to have that match, but I also think that it adversely impacts other parts of your card and maybe doesn't make WrestleMania as a whole as strong as it should be.
Mike, what's your take on the rise and push of Braun Strowman since the roster split? I think a lot of people were surprised when he ended up on Raw and the Wyatt family otherwise moved to SmackDown, and having him positioned now for a big match with Roman at Fastlane and main eventing last week against Big Show in a match that I think surprised some people in that it felt like it belonged in the main event spot of Raw. Who would have predicted that a year ago or 8 months ago, that Big Show and Braun Strowman might click and work as a main event on Raw? What's your take on Strowman, his upside, and are you surprised with the attention he's been given and how he's handled it?
Well, I mean, it's well noted that I'm personally not a big fan of Braun Strowman, but I get WWE's perspective on it, and I get why Vince McMahon, this is a Vince McMahon type of guy. I think that's always been his type of guy over the years, that big monster heel that he likes to push. So in that respect, not necessarily surprised that he got a big push, because the guy was not even on NXT television before he got called up, you know, save for being part of the Rosebuds or whatever in a couple segments, before he got called up to the main roster. So clearly, if they were going to give him that type of a push to the main roster, there was a lot of confidence in this guy and the type of upside that he had. So not necessarily surprised that when he went off on his own, they pushed him to this level. I don't think he even has a true loss yet, aside from the thing that happened with Sami Zayn, where it was just a 10-15 minute match. But I feel like, for me, if you keep Braun Strowman silent and you just let him kind of run through guys and stuff like that, then I can tolerate it. But where I come with it, I get issue is with Braun Strowman, what he did before Roman Reigns came out in the main event of Raw tonight, where he's talking and instead of being purposeful, he's kind of cracking jokes about Mick Foley being a suburban dad. And it's like he doesn't come across as like a realistic person when he's saying these. Doesn't seem like this is something that Braun Strowman, the character, should be saying or should be doing. So I think that if you keep Braun Strowman largely silent and let whoever he's feuding with do most of the talking, or insert somebody else into the situation, like an authority figure, to do a lot of the talking like they did with Mick Foley tonight, I think that then you can have some level of success with him. But I'm not necessarily all in on Braun Strowman being this main event talent, because we still haven't seen him put on a truly great match. I think he did surprise some people with the Big Show match. It wasn't as bad as maybe you would expect going in. I think that he had a good couple matches with Sami Zayn. I think that what he does with Roman Reigns here at Fastlane, that's going to be telling, because Roman Reigns is a guy, despite the hatred that he receives, who has proven he can have really, really good matches. And he does it oftentimes with really, really good workers. So we'll see what happens between him and Braun Strowman. But I think that for better or for worse, WWE is very much committed to pushing this guy in, you know, an upward trajectory. And I think that he's going to be one of your top heels on Raw for quite a long time to come.
Yeah, the writers just can't help themselves. You know what I mean? The line about suburban dads, that's a great point, Mike. I mean, is that really – I mean, we don't know Braun Strowman, I guess, all that well. I mean, maybe his character's going to come out of his shell a little bit, and he's going to be this monster heel who talks like this but has these witticisms that come out of him every now and then. But it is a weird juxtaposition between how he portrays himself and how he's been portrayed. And then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, the suburban dad line. Is that a case where the writers can't help themselves and they're writing to be clever and sports entertain the audience, but not writing in a way that's true to what the character would actually say? I thought Apollo Crews last week was just awful the way they wrote for him. I mean, it's just like, yeah, I mean, it happens every week. There's 2, 3, 4 instances where you're just rolling your eyes at the fact that, yes, people write like that, but people don't talk like that extemporaneously. It just doesn't sound natural, and they got to be careful with Braun. All right, we're going to go to our 30-minute break here, and when we come back, more calls. You can get in line on the phone banks. 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. I'm with Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio on today's program. Tomorrow, right after SmackDown, Pat McNeil and Greg Parks go live taking your calls. I might be the person who calls in and talks about the live show experience, which often happens here on our Monday night and Tuesday night shows after Raw and SmackDown with our listeners. But I also might be glued to the 205 live ring. So we'll see how that goes. But join Pat and Greg tomorrow live for the SmackDown edition of the live cast.
Do you love wrestling? Come see the first ever live Ring Rust Radio from Orlando, Florida on Saturday, April 1st from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be doing Q&A sessions, meet and greets, raffle giveaways, and so much more. If you wish to attend the live show, sign up on patreon.com/ringrustradio or send $10 per ticket to ringrustradio@gmail.com on PayPal. With Ring Rust Radio in the notes section to guarantee it your entry into the live show. We've also opened up a raffle to win a ticket to join the boys of Ring Rust Radio at NXT TakeOver Orlando, right next to the stage. For every $10, you'll receive one raffle entry into our NXT sweepstakes. You can sign up on Patreon or send the money to ringrustradio@gmail.com on PayPal with NXT in the notes section. This raffle will run until March 1st, so we can give the winner enough time to make travel accommodations. So be sure to enter it as soon as possible. Email ringrustradio@yahoo.com with any further questions.
Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio is my guest today, and we're talking Monday Night Raw, the final edition before Sunday's WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. Mike, I got a kick out of Michael Cole and Byron Saxton trying to navigate the plug for the 33 days of WrestleMania. And if you sign up anytime after Thursday, you'll get Fastlane and WrestleMania for free, which is fine. That's a good sales pitch. You know, hey, get 2 pay-per-views for free. But then Cole and then later Saxton in a separate segment said, so what are you waiting for? Go to WWENetwork.com right now. To which I think a lot of viewers at home said, I'm waiting for Thursday.
Right.
That was a little awkward. I think there's a smoother way to have plugged that. So I don't know. It was one of a few awkward moments on the show tonight. Anyway.
There's never not an awkward moment between those guys, I would say, on Raw.
No. Michael Cole is kind of stumbling with his words a few times during the show.
Yeah.
It was weird. There was one point in the Titus O'Neil match where they're talking about Titus O'Neil and Michael Cole's like all of a sudden stops in his tracks. He's not sure. Like it just felt like he lost his train of thought. And then suddenly the match was over. And so I don't know if somebody was kind of yelling into his earpiece that we're going home early on this. Sheamus is going to beat him with a bro kick quicker than we anticipated because the crowd was so dead or what. But yeah, there were just multiple times where Cole, who say what you will about him, but he's usually pretty smooth in when he's on camera or in commentary. And yeah, just a few times, even at one point, Byron and Corey Graves are kind of chuckling at him as he messed up wording. So I don't know. I mean, I'm a Viking fan, not a Packer fan. So it could have just been those damn Green Bay Packer fans throwing everybody off. I don't know. We'll see. You're a Buffalo Bills fan.
I don't take pride in it, Wade. I don't, but
okay.
I am.
Yes. Oh, rough.
I mean, You had to be happy that Charlotte forgot who Aaron Rodgers was, so there was that for you.
That was funny. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. Another one of those other awkward moments, and she's like, she could tell she paused and she struggled. It was, you know, almost, yeah. It was, and then she mentioned Brett Favre, which doesn't fit the one hit wonder because Favre won multiple Super Bowls. So totally didn't fit. I don't have my Packer trivia down. I mean, I'm an NFL fan, but I assume Aaron Rodgers won one Super Bowl, but no others. And Favre,
he won one Super Bowl, and actually Favre won one Super Bowl, but he went to two.
Oh really? Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, I take that back. Then Favre counts as a one hit wonder.
Even so, if you're winning one Super Bowl, I'm not going to call you a one-hit wonder.
Hey, as a Buffalo Bill or Minnesota Viking fan, we can both agree that we'd be happy being one-hit wonders as NFL fans of the Vikings or Bills. All right,
you'd be happy to make the playoffs at this point.
Yes, yes. I'm just not thinking about football till like August after what happened to the Vikings.
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go back to the phone lines here, and let's go to Scott from New York City. Scott, thanks for rolling. What's on your mind tonight?
So we got a Vikings fan, a Bills fan, and you guys bring on a Jets fan. This is going downhill fast.
Oh no.
I just want to say, I took a break from, I guess, sports entertainment for a long while. When I got back into it, I got back in, you know, the backstage stuff, and that's kind of my interest, my, you know, second half. And the first podcast I got into was Ring Rust, so having Mike Chiari on is pretty cool, Wade. So these are two of my favorite kind of blended, so I'm enjoying this. So props to both of you guys, and Mike, I'm a big fan of the show, so keep doing what you're doing over there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that so much.
All right, so Wade, if you ever listen to Ring Rust Radio, and I guess you were on today, so you got to chase what those guys are like, you'll notice that a topic that usually comes up, whether they're talking about Roman or, you know, Bray Wyatt, Mike Chiari's cringing right now, but it no matter who they're talking about, the question for both you guys is, how much is it booking and how much is it, you know, freedom of what the performer's doing? Obviously, a guy like Jericho and, you know, maybe guys like New Day, you know, they have freedom at certain points. But then again, you know, New Day had that stupid thing tonight where it was like the Oscars kind of, well, you know, it was that, you know, Vince McMahon, like, oh, well, we have to do something about that. Go and make New Day do it. And it's just like, it's so sickening. And it's just, I just don't know. Is it different in each case? Or, you know, that's my first question. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, it's mostly guys are under pretty strict scripting. But there is some, some improvising and some input. John Cena, in fact, in Sports Illustrated, not to get too off the exact beaten path of your question, but I did an article on PWTorch.com today with the interview highlights from that Sports Illustrated interview Cena did, and he was just going, "Hey, don't blame me. I just show up and do what I'm told." It was like Cena's like, "If you don't like this mixed tag match, just understand, I just am a poker player. I deal with a hand I'm dealt." He was practically apologizing for it. I don't know what to make of that. I gave my analysis of it PWTorch.com article today, so you can read what I said there about that and multiple other kind of hot button topics that Cena addressed, including regretting some of the things he said about Rock and some comments about AJ that mostly I thought were good, but took exception with one aspect of it. But the wrestlers struggle sometimes executing the material that they're given. When it's hard to come across as authentic when you're repeating somebody else's words. Anyways, Mike, comment on what Scott had to say, and then I can add to it also.
Yeah, just real quick with regard to the Cena thing, I found that funny as well, just because, basically saying he has no backstage power, essentially, when, it's been documented, like, it came out, like, when he beat the Nexus at SummerSlam, and Edge and Chris Jericho came out and said, they told John Cena, hey, you should put the Nexus over. And then they said, no, he said he's going to beat the Nexus, and then he beat the Nexus. So I feel like, obviously, he has some degree of backstage power. But and I think that's what it comes down to when you're talking about if somebody has some input into what they're doing out there. It's a case-by-case basis. I think a guy like John Cena has a ton of input. I think a guy like The Rock, if he appears, can do anything that he wants. I think that an act like New Day has some degree of input, and Bray Wyatt, he has said that he has input to put together his promos, but a guy that's mid-card or lower card is not going to have that same input, and they're probably going to just read off a script. So I think that it entirely depends on who you are and probably how much Vince McMahon has trust in a certain actor or a certain person.
Scott, any follow-up?
Yeah, and then my second thing is, I think it's just more general, but I think the company just has a huge problem with how to book baby faces. It's so odd and just like, you know, like I just think of Rollins, who was my favorite guy as a heel. I was loving, you know, even his promos were getting so much better. And I was, you know, when he came back, I was even like, everyone said he should have come back as a baby face and he probably should have. But even when he came back as a heel, I'm like, you know what? I like this. And they had the Shield three-way and it was cool. But my God, it's so bad. And now like everyone, you know, not everyone, but you think, oh, you know, the New Day, maybe Big E turns heel and it'll be a nice little whatever. But I could totally see Vince McMahon being like, oh, nope, those merch dollars. And we need someone to go out and, you know, make fun of the Oscars last night. And that's New Day. They're not wrestlers. They're sports entertainers, which, you know, has Vince written all over it. So it's just, I just think they have a huge issue booking faces right now. I mean, heels too. I looked at Rusev tonight and I was like, my God, like how could they have screwed up his character anymore in the last 2 years? But faces even more. So I'll just leave you guys with that. Mike, I'll be listening on Wednesday. Can't wait to hear what Wade had to say. And let's do this combo a little more often. So thanks, guys. I'll be listening. Have a good night.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, I mean, they don't have great top babyface depth right now as it is, with Finn Balor still out for now. And Seth Rollins out for a while. Roman Reigns not particularly over. Chris Jericho not a full-fledged face, I guess, sort of. I mean, you get attacked by Kevin Owens. I guess it turns you babyface when the crowd is cheering you anyway. But there's not this great depth chart. And part of it is they're just not very good at it. Mike, can you come up with 1, 2, 3 examples of babyface pushes that WWE has done recently where you'd give them a good grade, and then kind of add to Scott's thoughts overall and mine too, that they're not very good at it and maybe you have to search pretty hard to find examples?
You know, it's tough because I think that a big part of it is that Vince McMahon will essentially, whoever he wants to be in that top position, whether the fans are embracing it or the fans are not embracing it, he's just going to make it happen. And that's what we're seeing with Roman Reigns. Like we talked about it on Ringers Radio, it's going to air Wednesday, that Roman Reigns essentially, I think everybody who sees what's going on here thinks that this guy he'd make for a great heel. And the fans boo him by and large. And I think that he would thrive in that role. But because Vince McMahon, you know, sees dollar signs in this guy and has made the decision in his mind that this is going to be my top face, he keeps him in that position. And I think that, yeah, maybe Seth Rollins being hurt plays into that. I think maybe Finn Balor being hurt plays into that. But I think that I don't have any confidence that when they're both back healthy that Roman Reigns is going to be turned heel, even though he should, going into a feud most likely with The Undertaker, and it would be the perfect time and the perfect opportunity and the perfect setting to do it. I just think that at times, and we've interviewed people that, you know, have worked in WWE and basically say that, you know, Vince McMahon, Ryback said this actually, Vince McMahon, he could may be a 100 billionaire if he would just follow and listen to what people want, but he'd rather be a billionaire and do what he wants. And I think that's what the issue is in terms of building faces and in terms of giving people what they want. He would rather do what he wants. And that's an issue for the overall product, I think.
Yeah, there's something to be said for just listening to who the crowd cheers and pushing them as baby faces and framing them in a way where they are baby faces. There's been a variety of opinions on last week's segment with Bayley and Charlotte. And this tonight on Raw, Charlotte said, oh, there's the cheater. And Stephanie rubbed it in. You know, Sasha, are you going to be at ringside for Bayley because you're tired of her stealing your spotlight or because you don't think she can win on her own and you need to be there to help? The heels, I argued last week and still stand by it, are making good points, and heels shouldn't make good points that undercut the credibility and pride that you should have, that the credibility of the baby faces and the pride that as a fan of that face that you should have in their winning. Where are you on the push of Bayley, and in particular what they did last Monday and tonight?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that in all honesty, they've made Bayley look kind of bad almost since Jump Street, since the call up to the main roster. And I think what they've done is they reverted her character in a big way, because when she kind of started in NXT, she was this super fan and she was just happy to be there. And then eventually she evolved and she had these big matches with Sasha Banks and with Charlotte and with Asuka, and she became battle tested and hardened and she became somebody who could, you know, go up and fight the top girls in the women's division, and, you know, confident and sure of herself and all that type of stuff. But then I think they went kind of back to what her original character was in NXT when she came into the main roster, like almost like a reset, and she kind of lacks that confidence. And then when she cuts promos, she's not the best on the mic in my estimation. And when she doesn't cut a confident promo, then that goes and that hurts her even more. And then she's going up against somebody who I would say is the best mic worker in the entire women's division in Charlotte. And that doesn't do her any favors either. And then I think that the Raw women's division as a whole hasn't been booked the greatest as of late, especially in comparison to SmackDown. And I think that tonight and last week was a good example. Last week, they basically tried to devalue Bayley's title win by saying that the only reason it happens because Sasha Banks got involved. So Bayley comes into this week and is about to enter a pay-per-view needing to look strong, and then she's the one that takes the pinfall loss to Nia Jax. And I'm not saying that a champion should never take a loss in a non-title match, because Charlotte would do it all the time. Her father, Ric Flair, did it all the time, and it was okay because basically they could say, you know, I'm trying to preserve myself for that title match. Not a big deal if I lose a non-title match. But with Bayley, she's a face, so it is a big deal if she's losing a non-title match, especially if they're telling us these past couple weeks that she doesn't deserve to be champion. So I think that's what my issue is. When Bayley should be built up to look strong, especially going against Charlotte, who has this undefeated pay-per-view streak in title matches, they somehow, week after week after week, manage to make her look worse and worse and worse.
Very good. If you're just joining us mid-show, I'm with, from Ring Rust Radio, Mike Chiari. And I'm Wade Keller of PW Torch. And we are taking your calls, and we're going to start taking some of your emails, too, after this break. So stay tuned. We got more to talk about, including that Seth Rollins, Corey Graves segment with Triple H. And we got an email queued up here on the Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman segment. So stay tuned. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. We are back live here at PW Torch Livecast. You can find our show on demand or our live streams at our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. Don't forget, you can show support for us when you shop Amazon by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon. Start there, click the link, and shop away at the Amazon homepage. But because you started at pwtorch.com/Amazon, everything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. So money that would have been in Amazon's pocket goes into ours. And that makes us happy. And we appreciate you taking a few extra seconds to do that when you shop Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio is my first time co-host here on the post-Raw edition of the livecast. I said before the break, we had an email up here. We got Sean from Murfreesboro who says, I didn't watch the whole show, but the last hour was awful. The Roman segment didn't get me excited at all about beating Braun. All he has is spears and Superman punches, but of course he'll win on Sunday. Ugh. Anyway, just wanted to get your guys' thought on that. Again, you have to go VIP. Wade and his crew are the best. Thanks. Sean. We'll mention how to go VIP in a little bit here if you're not a VIP member and are interested. Mike, yeah, your thoughts on the final segment and what they did with that whole contract signing setup and execution?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't think there's much they could have done to get me super excited for this match. But I think that there were good elements. I think that using Mick Foley as a vehicle to get Roman Reigns something of a positive reaction was smart, and also in turn getting Braun Strowman a little bit of heat, because I think that the reactions have been opposite of that leading up to it, or even bordering on indifference leading up to it. And this crowd throughout Raw was largely indifferent to everything. So the fact that they did that, and then Roman Reigns did the spear through the barrier and he got Roman Reigns' chance, I mean, I think that's exactly the type of reaction that Vince McMahon always hoping for, and it rarely comes, but it did happen on this show. So I think that deserves some credit for that. But I alluded to it a little bit earlier. I think that they went too far with it because, okay, Roman Reigns spears him through the barrier, just ended on that note. And with, you know, your top baby face in the eyes of Vince McMahon getting that reaction, then that's what you should go home with. But instead, Braun Strowman gets up and then he takes out Roman Reigns, which is exactly what he did last week. Like, we already know what Braun Strowman is. He's a monster. We know what he can do. I don't think it would have hurt him at all if Roman Reigns got one up on him leading up to the pay-per-view, especially because I kind of get the feeling that Braun Strowman is probably going to win that match because they're still protecting him. So I think that there were good elements to it, but there's not really much you could have done because both guys are limited on the mic. So you would have had to have Mick Foley carry it in that regard. So they're kind of stuck with what they can do with two guys like that, two guys who are at their best when they're saying very little. And if you're having a contract signing, generally you have to say something. So I think they did about the best they could, but there wasn't much potential to do anything in that segment.
We also had an email from Michael H., who wants us to check the tape. So I need your opinion on this, Mike, too. He said he didn't hear Roman. He heard Strowman. Now, first of all,
conspiracy.
Yes, there should be a rule in wrestling that if your last names rhyme, you don't get to feud, because then we don't know who the fans are chanting for. So some fans could have been trying to cheer for Roman, and others were thinking they were chanting for Strowman. I feel bad. If Roman had a crowd that was actually on his side and the Foley argument with Strowman did turn the fans enough against Strowman that they were happy to see Roman, and Roman finally gets a chance, and now Mike H. emails and says, "Nah, taking it away, I heard Strowman." So I'm nothing but fair to Roman Reigns. I heard Roman. Is there any doubt in your mind, Mike, without having a chance here to check the tape, that it was Roman and not Strowman?
Well, in the moment, I felt like it was Roman. I think it would have been a strange place to chant Strowman because he just got speared through a barrier. So my assumption would be that it was a Roman chant.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Mike says he's resigned to the Roman face push continuing. So I think that shows his bias. He's hearing Strowman even when people are chanting Roman, perhaps. But yeah. Anyway, so I don't think we solved that, but people can check back the tape, I guess. All right, let's go to another phone call here. In fact, let's go to the city that we have taken some digs at, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And go to Craig. Craig, thanks for calling this week. Did you attend Raw tonight?
Yes, Wade, I did. Hello, Mike. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I got to ask you first and foremost, Craig, I'm sure you got a whole thing set up. What do you want to talk about? Was it Strowman or Roman or both? You were there. Solve this debate.
I will solve the debate quite easily. I heard a lot of Roman without the STR.
Yes, so it was a Roman chant. Sorry, Mike H. I think Roman actually got your... Now, Craig, was it the majority of the crowd? Was it the whole crowd? Was it just a vocal part of the crowd? Like, what was your sense of their reception for Roman in general tonight in person?
I thought it was quite similar to last week in Los Angeles. He got a pretty favorable reaction, but it wasn't the entire arena. But whoever was chanting anything during that segment, it was for Roman.
Good. So tell us what else you have to say about the live experience tonight.
Well, one thing about that specific segment was I felt chills down my arms and spine that I was going to get to witness a live Mick Foley passionate promo, but I felt it was wasted on getting a Roman Reigns pop, and I was so disappointed.
Mike, what do you think?
Well, I feel like you make a good point, because I think that the whole reason that Mick Foley was put into the situation was to get a favorable reaction for Roman Reigns, because obviously Mick Foley, a big-time fan favorite. Braun Strowman, I think that he's picked up some steam in terms of people supporting him in recent weeks, and I think that WWE wanted to squash that as much as they could to get the good reaction for Roman Reigns, and I think that having him go up against Mick Foley was probably the best way for them to do that. So I do agree that I think that Mick Foley was there for no other reason than to help out Roman Reigns.
Yeah. I thought that was one of Foley's kind of better promos in a while, regardless of whether you think it was, wasted. It had to be kind of cool to be there in the building when Mick kind of got to be the old Mick Foley for, who knows how many more times we'll see that.
yes, and that added to my disappointment that he did not get to continue for a couple minutes at least like he has been in the past. But moving on from that segment, I was very embarrassed to be in the crowd when, during the Seth Rollins and Corey Graves interview segment, that everyone started chanting CM Punk. I could not believe it. How could anyone not be able to feel for the guy, whether it's Seth Rollins or Colby Lopez, for that matter, because this injury was not part of the storyline. So I felt for the guy because that's legitimate that he feels like he's, you know, kind of feeling like he's missing out on WrestleMania 2s in a row and kind of wondering what the heck his fate is with his career. But I also, I haven't attended Raw in two or three years, and I had my girlfriend with me, and we both felt the show just dragged on, you know, segment after segment after segment, and the cruiserweight segment where they had to put the purple rope up and all that kind of garbage, it's like, it's a waste, and it just does not give, I mean, I would love to put out a call to the WWE and say that they need to really improve the live audience experience, because that live audience will carry through to the television product that they show to millions of people, and if you don't hear a good audience in the television product, it's not going to give the viewers any idea that it's exciting to be there. So that's kind of a problem. But the attendance was not too bad. I did call in last week about hearing all sorts of advertisement leading up to the event about tickets are on sale, but they only papered off the section to the right of the entrance stage where the hard cam is set up. I would say it's about 85 to 90% full. But saying that, I was quite confused as to when Roman and Strowman were going through the crowd that they actually went to the section of the arena that had empty seats. And I was wondering how they would disguise that. So it's kind of confusing as to their thought behind that execution.
Oh, did you sense, Craig, from being in the building, that this was an especially dead crowd? And if so, did it seem that way from the beginning, or did something take the wind out of their sails even before Raw went on the air?
The main event taping ahead of time got the crowd in there. When Sin Cara faced Bo Dallas, I'm not going to announce any spoilers. But
oh,
the
you
crowd
can.
Was
trust.
Way behind.
There's no such thing as a main event spoiler.
I don't want to know.
Okay, well, when Sin Cara won and when Grand Metalik won, the crowd was quite behind the faces and quite, they booed the hell out of Bo Dallas when he had his spot in the match to get his comeback. But as the night went on, the only reactions I noticed the crowd give the wrestlers was when they actually called for it, when they looked to the audience and raised their hands, or you know what I mean. It's just the audience didn't really buy into whatever was going on in the ring until they were told to react instead of actually react to what was going on. So that goes to show that the scripted nature of the matches and the promos, it's just not working, and it kind of sucks because the WWE only comes to just about every somewhat major city once or twice a year, and it's cool to see everyone in person and cheer them, but then you kind of get let down a little bit depending on your level of a fan. I do have one more comment about the show if you want to comment on what I had just commented on.
Mike, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, well, I think the one thing that you said that really spoke to me was the Seth Rollins segment with Corey Graves and the CM Punk chants. I hate CM Punk chants. I loathe CM Punk chants in any situation, really, because I think it takes away from whoever is in the ring or whoever is in a segment and trying to do their job and trying to entertain the fans, and then the fans do something like that. But I really, really, really disliked it in this situation because you have Seth Rollins. You don't know in the moment if he's being 100% serious about his situation, if there's storyline elements about it, but it's an emotional segment and the guy is pouring his heart out, and then you chant CM Punk. So I have a real issue with people that do that. I thought that was a great segment. I thought that was the best segment in the entire show, but I think that a lot was taken away from it because of the way the crowd reacted for whatever reason.
It seemed like that segment needed to be pre-taped backstage. It needed to be kind of like Cole, Lesnar, and Heyman, 2020 hindsight. But I don't know that they should be all that surprised. I don't think Seth Rollins was that hot of a babyface act when he got hurt. And Hunter, it feels like, again, heels are speaking too much truth. It was sort of a feel sorry for me, woe is me segment. And if you like Seth, you'd feel sorry for him. But I mean, you almost do feel, Seth almost made the case against him, and then Triple H accentuated it. in talking about, maybe I deserve this. I made a deal with the devil and I paid a price and I should have known better. When he came back from his injury, I was there in New Jersey for that Extreme Rules pop. It couldn't be more different than what I got. The feeling is he got coming out or limping out, hobbling out in Green Bay. Something just there is nothing or so little left to the excitement that people had when Seth returned last May from the long layoff. That so much damage was done, and part of it was the audible they had to call with Finn Balor, and I get that. But boy, have they done a terrible job of this character. And I think they should have read the crowd a little better and sped that segment up. I mean, when you have a crowd rejecting a top star like that or just apathetic towards him, I think someone's got to get in someone's earpiece and signal, just move this along. Let's get through this. It's the wrong night for long, dramatic pauses as Seth hangs his head about his future. Let's get Triple H out there sooner and add some energy to things. I'm not sure coming out of that segment if they were trying to, I don't know, as somebody said on Twitter, it was a punt. It was a hedge. The match might happen. It might not. We're not sure how his knee is. I mean, that's kind of how that came across. And I think that's what I reported the week of the injury, that I was hearing, this is going to be touch and go. You know, they're not going to know if he can go, but they don't know enough to rule him in or out. And even here, 3.5 or however many weeks later, they still clearly don't seem to know. They're not promising the match will happen or won't happen. Craig, how did you think that they handled that segment in terms of building up the possibility but not the promise of Hunter and Seth? Did Hunter's promo get the fans a little more on Seth's side and wanting to see that match?
I don't really think so, because the crowd was dead from his entrance until the whole segment, until the CM Punk chant. The crowd went apeshit for Triple H's music. I mean, I saw people get out of their seats to look at the entrance ramp, so that does not bode well for Seth Rollins and how his character has been, especially his long time since he's been on TV from his injury. But they were dead from his intro music to when he made his appearance to when he got to the ring. I felt bad for the guy because I thought it would be a bigger reaction.
Interesting. Mike, your thoughts on the same topic?
Yeah, well, I think that a big part of it is with Seth Rollins, they had something when they did the whole invasion of NXT TakeOver, and I think that was a really good angle. And then they had something when, the episode of – they had Triple H screw him out of the Royal Rumble spot, and then the Raw after Royal Rumble, they had Seth Rollins come out and kind of call out Triple H, and then they had the whole thing with Samoa Joe, and everything was going really well, and then he gets injured. And I think that's part of the issue. And I think that maybe another city, maybe another circumstance, the reaction would have been a little bit different. I think that there's definitely some merit to the point that, you know, Triple H telling him he deserves it, and then Seth Rollins basically accepting responsibility, like, yeah, you're right, I do deserve it. But I think that's also part of getting the fans on his side ultimately. So I think that it's still unfortunate, because I still think it was a good segment overall. It didn't get the reaction it deserved. And I do agree that they're kind of maybe hedging their bets here with regard to how they're going to move forward with Seth Rollins and Triple H, because they're leaving the door open, but they're not promising anything. I think that I would be okay if they just went forward with this and just left it open-ended going into WrestleMania. Like, is Seth Rollins going to show up? Is Seth Rollins not going to show up? If he can go, maybe make it something like an unsanctioned street fight, which I think would be interesting. It's WrestleMania. It's going to sell itself whether you advertise Triple H against Seth Rollins or not. So I think that what the segment does is it makes things pretty interesting, and it leaves some questions there, and that's not always a bad thing heading into WrestleMania.
My solution to this is guarantee the match happens, and make it a knee brace and crutch match where both Triple H and Seth need to wear a knee brace and carry a crutch so they can swing the crutch at each other's casts or knee braces and hobble around. I could take some shots at some matches that look like that based on the physical condition of a few wrestlers in their day, but I won't name names. Some of them are dead. But anyway, Craig, are you still with us? And any closing words for you?
That was a very fun... That's a good idea for WrestleMania, Wade.
I think it would sell. I think it's money.
Well, yeah. Maybe. Anyway, the dark segment. I know that Brock Lesnar was advertised locally, but I wasn't sure if he was nationally advertised. But my questions were answered right after I went off the air, where Brock Lesnar's music hit. Him and Paul Heyman come out. They kind of play the babyface thing. Paul Heyman says that Brock Lesnar decided to attend Raw, or show up at Raw, instead of watch it from his home, fly to Green Bay and ask for a fight. And then Heyman kind of was more of a babyface role right there. And so was Lesnar with his audience interactions. And then then the Big Show comes out. And then they just kind of do a little bit where Big Show gives a little bit off offense, and then Brock Lesnar comes back, hits the F5, and walks off. And I actually saw him hit give some fans some high fives on the way up. So that was pretty cool. But I just, being as in attendance, I figured I'd at least give you guys that little bit of a nugget.
Yeah. Oh, I know you mentioned the dark match. Oh, now I'm blanking out on it. What were the two dark matches again?
Oh, the main event matches, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. You mentioned them earlier, although you didn't mention go ahead, Grand Metalik, I think you said, wrestled, and you didn't mention his opponent.
Oh, Sin Cara wrestled Bo Dallas, and Grand Metalik wrestled... Oh, who the heck did he wrestle? That was like 4 hours ago. I can't remember. But
he's Daivari, okay. Maybe?
Yeah, Arya Daivari. Yeah, that's who he beat. Good call.
I'm trying to think of the biggest jobber heel in the Cruiserweight division.
I was just going to say, that's a hell of a guess. Thank you. You don't even need to be there to pick out what the dark matches are.
Yeah.
Mike, any questions? Go ahead, Craig, and then I'll say what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, all I wanted to say to finish out was the promos from Mick Foley, Paul Heyman, although it was a dark segment, and then Triple H. Those three segments give me a lot of perspective being in person to how those three kind of came up in the ranks of not being scripted and having to win crowds over on their own with their own mind. And those three promos stood out to me as the best of the entire night because they've been doing it for at least 20 plus years without having any handcuffs or anything like that. So those are the three things of promos as far as that concerned that stuck out to me. So I figured I'd close with that and have any other comments, you guys. But I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, Craig. Mike, did you have any question for Craig being there live? I've asked a few. Any follow-up or anything?
No. Did you enjoy yourself overall, regardless of everything else?
If I wasn't with my girlfriend, it wouldn't have been as enjoyable. But we made the best of it what we could. But while lamenting how much of a drag it is between segments and commercial breaks and the purple stupid tape on the Cruiserweight segments, I just wish that show would. Oh, that is so lame. Oh, and by the way, they loosened up that top rope during the commercial break before the contract signing. That was not a surprise to the law about you.
That breaks my heart. They got to figure out. Okay, thanks, Craig. Appreciate the call. What they needed to do, thanks, Craig. Always good to hear from you. What they need to do in that segment, and again, this isn't 2020 hindsight, okay? And I'm not saying I'm a genius for this. Send four people out to the ring and have each of them tighten three turnbuckles. But one of them turns the wrong way, but hopefully nobody's paying attention because they're just ring crew guys. So don't just have one. I mean, come on. Kayfabe, I know people know, but don't show how the magic trick is done in front of the audience before the show starts. You don't go to a magic show when they're showing you, oh, yeah, this helicopter. It's actually a fold-away helicopter, and that's why it fits into this little box, and let's show you how it works. And then they show you the trick 2 hours later or a half hour later. No. So it's not that hard. Send multiple ring people down there. Have them pretend to tighten all the other turnbuckles, but loosen the one that's going to break away. Nobody thinks twice. That's just a small effort that they can make. Same thing with don't post pictures of your opponent on social media having a chicken fingers at Denny's afterwards. It's just simple. Be a professional. Go that little extra step for the fans to not expose the tricks. That's I'm just shaking my head at that one, Mike.
The secret Lefty
anyway.
Lucy. I like it.
Yes, there's that one guy who's a little confused and isn't quite sure. All right, Mike, can you stick around for our final segment, or do you got to run? I know we've been on for about over an hour already.
No, I'd love to stick around for sure.
Cool. All right, we're gonna go to our what will probably be our last break here. When we come back, more of your phone calls and emails and more conversations about tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw.
Do you love wrestling? Check out one of the hottest shows, Ring Rust Radio, breaking down WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views,
NXT, Lucha Underground, TNA, New Japan, and indie wrestling. The boys of Ring Rust Radio also interview some of the biggest names in wrestling, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles, John Cena, Roman Reigns, and many more. If you love the PW Torch Livecast and you like to have fun, check out Ring Rust Radio. Find us on ringrustradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at ringrustradio and email the show, ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
Is there anybody out there who doesn't both like the PW Torch Livecast and having fun? So I think that's a good clue that everybody would enjoy Ring Rust Radio too. All right. Mike, I didn't hear you get put over in that promo.
You know what? I never get put over on that show. And I'm sorry that you had to play that promo with that, whatever tone that was that he was reading that with. I'll send you a better one.
You can talk to Don about that. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines here, and let's bring in Darnell from New York. Darnell, thanks for holding so long. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, I have a question. I just wanted to know your guys' thoughts on a possibility I kind of thought of. After the segment with Stephanie and Mick, when she said she was going to apologize, then she kind of started just like tearing into him. What do you all think about it being possible that maybe his daughter comes up and she faces they face each other at some point, kind of just to be like, you know, my dad can't hit a woman, but I can. What do you guys think about that?
Mike?
I don't see that happening. Honestly, I don't know the legitimacy of Noelle Foley wanting to be a wrestler or going to be a wrestler if it's all simply was done for Holy Foley. But I feel like really what they're doing with this is obviously pushing out Mick Foley because he's talked a lot about, you know, he doesn't know how much longer he's going to be in this role. He has to, you know, I don't know if he had this hip surgery, if he's going to go away and kind of recover from the hip surgery that he had. And I think that basically what they're building up to is him getting taken out of power and Triple H maybe assuming that position and going back to the authority type thing. And something that I could see based on the little interaction that we saw with Samoa Joe, maybe Samoa Joe is the guy that takes out Mick Foley. Obviously, Mick Foley can't get super physical at this point, but, you know, maybe puts him in a coquina clutch or something like that. And then you build up the heel heat for a guy like Samoa Joe. So if anybody's going to get the rub out of a situation like that, I could see it maybe being Samoa Joe.
Good transition to our next email. Josh from Bristol, UK says, what do you make of giving matches away? I understand that WWE can't fill 3 hours with Sheamus against Titus and so on. But since Samoa Joe's very recent debut on Raw, we've already seen him go up against and defeat Roman Reigns and Cesaro. Two matches I feel should have been saved for bigger occasions. I was also disappointed when Kevin Owens reminded me that he's already faced off against AJ Styles in what was a throwaway television match. Do you think Vince doesn't realize how big of a star Joe is or can be and thought the same of AJ a year ago, or that he simply feels he just needs these matches to keep people tuned into Raw? Thanks again for everything you guys do with the Torch, and I'll once again be listening to the podcast version tomorrow morning. Thanks, Josh. Yeah, I kind of felt watching Joe that, first of all, I didn't like the structure of the match. I think Joe should still be destroying people, plowing through people. And talking about the history, you know, Joe and Cesaro have this history and all that, and then it's only because of a tweak to knee that Joe even gets offense in against Cesaro early. Cesaro manages to come back despite a bum knee, and then Joe just sort of happens to win out of nowhere. I'd rather see Joe destroy Heath Slater or, well, whatever. Pick your guy on Raw or a jobber or call somebody up or have it be Sin Cara. I don't care. Just have Joe be a destroyer for a few weeks and not have even Steve matches against a guy like Cesaro who, I mean, a lot of us love him, but he's a tag wrestler who hasn't exactly been treated as a single superstar. And the fact that Joe went even Steven with him just defines Joe in a way that I don't think the audience had yet been conditioned to define him as. That is not a match that they'd put Brock Lesnar or Goldberg in, and or Strowman for that matter at this point. And so I thought it was a step back for Joe. Going even with Roman Reigns in a big match as kind of a one-off, hey, Joe can hang with Reigns. He's a main event guy. We're going to put him in a main event spot. I was more forgiving of that than what they did with Joe and Cesaro tonight. I did feel like now Vince is just leaning on Joe as a guy who can fill a TV slot and he and Cesaro can go out there and do their thing, and we'll talk about their history. Mike, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what they try to do is they try to strike a balance between not giving away a marquee match, but at the same time giving away a match that people still want to see. And I think that Samoa Joe versus Cesaro has that cachet with the hardcore wrestling fan base because of their connections dating back to Ring of Honor. And I think that even though we might view, and a lot of fans might view, Cesaro as a guy who has that main event potential, I don't think WWE necessarily views him as that guy. So they're not viewing it as they're giving away a big-time match on Raw. In terms of the match itself, I think that a better way to do it, I agree to a point, but maybe have Samoa Joe be the one that was responsible for the knee injury, the worst knee injury in the match, because basically it was like a fluke that the injury happened, and then he capitalized on it when Samoa Joe legitimately hurt Seth Rollins' knee, and he's legitimately, or, you know, within storyline, trying to hurt Sami Zayn. So make him like this guy who, if you play off what reality is, he injured Tyson Kidd, unfortunately. He injured Seth Rollins, unfortunately. Put it into the storyline. He injures guys. He you know, targets a body part, and he's vicious, and then he goes and wins these matches. So I think that might have been a better way to book it overall, but I don't necessarily have a problem with them doing Samoa Joe against Cesaro. I have a bigger problem giving away, you know, title changes like Bayley winning on Raw rather than winning at WrestleMania, but that's another story.
I don't know how you do it, Mike, but you have transitioned beautifully into our next email question. It's about Bayley. Chris from Lake Jackson, Texas, just emailed. He said, I want to ask you about how they handled Bayley winning the women's title last week. Can you believe you did that? I know it didn't.
No,
really,
I can't. You know, a lot of practice.
Yes, yes. I know it didn't really make sense for her to not give the title back to Charlotte, but I was thinking that maybe it might have something to do with her NXT experience. When she first started out in NXT, her character was very naive and would get taken advantage of. But when she made her title runs, I feel the commentators made it seem like this was a different Bayley than before and that she had grown up. So I was thinking the reason for what they did is because of her character development in NXT. If you agree with this, can you talk about the trouble they're going to run into by having to make the decision of NXT being the first part of the story and Raw being the sequel? Or is Raw going to be the Hollywood reboot? Hopefully I explained my question well enough. Thanks for taking the time. No, it's a great topic, and Bayley is I think, a great example of the challenge that WWE has with, Chris put it well, is it a sequel or is it a Hollywood reboot? When a wrestler gets called up to the main roster, how should they handle that? Clearly NXT has a fraction of the audience of Raw, but it's not nothing. And it's part of the narrative. They talk about what happens in NXT as part of the narrative. Heck, now they're talking about ROH as part of the narrative. And New Japan is part of the narrative now. They've expanded their horizons to talk about pro wrestling in their sports entertainment bubble that they create. Is it a case-by-case thing, Mike? Or should they just assume today's audience knows about NXT and talk about it so they feel they're missing out if they don't? But then is the downside too great, which is, the great stories for these characters get told in NXT, and by the time they get in front of the large audience, the best story you can tell with Bayley has already been told, and so you get this kind of derivative, half-hearted rerun that's flawed.
Mm-hmm. I think that they treat it as a reboot, and they should treat it as a sequel. And I think that I agree. Obviously, not the entire WWE fan base is watching NXT, but it's an easy fix. If you're going to tell a story that's like a sequel of something that happened in NXT, show video packages, explain what happened, and do that type of stuff, and then people will be fine with it, I think, and they'll get it. And I think this goes back to like Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn, when they kind of, on the main roster, WWE failed in a lot of respects, because for a long time, they didn't really talk, they would allude to the history that these guys had, former best friends, traveled the world together as indie wrestlers, had their run-ins in NXT, but show me a video package. Tell me what happened. Tell me that Kevin Owens showed up and turned on Sami Zayn after Sami Zayn won the title, and this is why Kevin Owens is such a dastardly, terrible person. Because if I'm not watching NXT, I don't know that, and they never said it, and it took them weeks and weeks and weeks before they even made like a video package talking about the history between these guys. And I think that that's something that they should do all the time if you're going to kind of draw from NXT, because like I mentioned before, I think that they reverted Bayley's character back to what it was early on in NXT instead of building off the momentum she gained over the time she spent in NXT. And I think that's a problem, because even though not your whole audience is watching, a pretty good portion of your audience is watching NXT. And they've already kind of like seen this evolution of the Bayley character. And now they have to sit through it again. and I feel like they're not doing it as well the second time. So I think that's the problem.
Very good. We'll wrap up with a couple rapid fire points. Enzo and Cass or New Day, who's more off the track, or do you disagree with kind of the conventional wisdom right now that both of those acts are stale or running out of steam or asking for some resistance from the crowd?
I think that they're both a little bit off track right now, and I think the problem is Enzo and Cass were so out of the title scene for so long and involved in stuff that didn't really matter. And I think that the problem now with New Day is that they're the longest reigning tag team champions, and now they're involved with, you know, the lowest wrestlers on the card, and they're talking about ice cream instead of talking about, hey, maybe we should try to get our tag team championships back. I think that probably Enzo and Cass are a little bit further off, though, because you have New Day heading in to WrestleMania. They're going to be the hosts of WrestleMania, so might they not even wrestle a match? Potentially, might they wrestle in a pre-show tag team championship match? Possibly. I don't know, but at least they're going to be a featured part of WrestleMania. I don't necessarily have a lot of confidence that Enzo and Cass are going to. If anything, I think that with New Day, they could benefit from something like a heel turn. It's something that I would like to have seen after they lost the tag team championship. And of course, they're still very popular, but they proved when they were heels before that they could sell merchandise and, you know, kind of, you know, get a good reaction from the fans, even as heels. So I think that the tag team divisions on both rosters, both Raw and SmackDown, I think that might be the biggest overall issue in terms of booking in all of WWE right now.
And final topic for you, cruiserweight division. They did some hype for 205 Live and for Fastlane. Where do you stand on the push of Neville in general, his transformation, and the cruiserweight division in general, and try to tie it into something they did on Raw tonight too?
I think that overall, the cruiserweights might be what they book best and most consistently in all of WWE. And I think that Neville, he's been great as a heel. And I, going into it, you didn't know for sure if it was going to work because Neville was very popular, had the red arrow, which is a very, you know, face maneuver that people are going to pop for, people are going to enjoy. But he really has transformed his character. He's, you know, kind of gone against the fans very clearly. He's incorporated more mat-based stuff, submission finisher into his attack. And I think all of that has contributed to him being a really good heel. And in that same respect, I think that the perfect foil for him is Jack Gallagher. And last week on Raw, I thought one of my favorite segments was their contract signing and how they kind of had that dichotomy between each other with Neville kind of going against what people want the British stereotype to be, and then Jack Gallagher kind of, you know, embracing it and all that kind of stuff. So really, I think Neville against Jack Gallagher might be my most anticipated match at Fastlane. And I think overall, the Cruiserweight division has been really good. Kendrick against Tozawa is a well-booked feud so far. You have a lot of talent in there. I think 205 Live has helped that. It's just a matter of getting people to care about that division. I think the hardcore fans are going to care, but they got to do, and maybe getting a guy like Austin Aries involved is going to help make, you know, a bigger portion of the fan base care about the cruiserweight wrestling, because I think they do a good job in terms of the booking with the time that they have.
So stay the course, keep doing what they're doing, hope Austin Aries helps, keep scouting for some better talent or add some you know, different personalities to the mix. That's kind of my stance too. How long before Vince McMahon ruins Jack Gallagher by having him overtly pitch some sort of cheesy merchandise that takes Gallagher away from being a guy who cares about winning matches, who happens to have a personality, to a guy like New Day and now Enzo and Cass, who are all about personality and merchandise, and oh yeah, sometimes they wrestle?
I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet. And you can tell that Jack Gallagher is the type of guy that Vince McMahon probably loves, but he loves him in like comedic kind of way, just like New Day. Like I don't know if you saw the WWE 24 WrestleMania where like the New Day were they were hosting some kind of a symposium or something like that, and Big E's doing a shtick and Vince is back there clapping his hands, having a great old time. Like
yeah.
He doesn't view these guys as like they're the longest rated tag team champions of all time. They should care about winning the titles, but instead they're caring about ice cream and they're caring about hosting WrestleMania. And I could definitely see that happening with Jack Gallagher. But I guess the good part is that Cruiserweight division largely predicated on wrestling. So hopefully if he stays within that bubble for now, he'll be protected for at least you know, a certain amount of time.
Mike, great having you on the show. We'll do this again. Great job.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it so much. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Join Mike and company on Ring Rust Radio. The show drops Wednesday. I will be a guest on this week's show where we talk about the WrestleMania lineup and also NXT TakeOver's lineup. Mike Chiari, I guess first time on the show, and I suspect we'll do this again soon down the line. Again, thanks, Mike. And Mike, how can people follow you on Twitter? Give that one more shout out.
Yeah, they can follow me at Mike Chiari, Chiari, and they can also follow Ring Rust Radio at Ring Rust Radio.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike. Thanks to our callers and our emailers, as always. And Pat McNeil and Greg Parks will take over tomorrow night. I'm anticipating calling in with a live perspective, and it should be an interesting show, hopefully more interesting than tonight's show or more encouraging. I thought this was a down episode for Monday Night Raw. All right, we had somebody mention VIP membership earlier in the show. If you're not a VIP membership, you have a chance to go VIP anytime you want. You don't have to wait till Thursday. You can. What are you waiting for? Go right now. There's no reason to wait till Thursday, unlike WWE Network. Become a VIP member. With that membership comes the every single day Wade Keller hotline, where every day, and this is for 7 years now, almost. We're going on 7 years. Every day, without exception, I've done an update. If there's big news, I cover the news. Otherwise, I review Raw and SmackDown and answer VIP member email questions in depth. And we hit a whole bunch of eclectic topics that we don't get to here on the live cast. Sometimes they're short answers. Sometimes the format gives me a chance to go on really in depth on a variety of topics. It has a definitely a different vibe and feel from what I do here on the live cast, interacting with callers and co-hosts. In fact, today I did a bonus edition of the Wade Keller Hotline, a midday update with the breaking news of the Hardys and Drew Galloway having their contract negotiations break off. I talked about the impact on TNA and the potential of both the Hardys and Drew as acts that could transition to WWE and what kind of value that they would have as members of WWE if they were to join WWE. So, and I also analyzed in depth the John Cena Sports Illustrated interview, which I thought was very much newsworthy. Talked for 35 minutes about both of those topics exclusively for VIP members. So when there's breaking news, we break it down one way or the other, either on the Wade Keller Hotline or one of the other shows that I host. We do about 75 VIP exclusive audio shows per month. The live casts are put up on the VIP audio feed with almost all the plugs and ads edited out. So it's a more streamlined version of listening to this program on the VIP feed. The sound is optimized and the ads and plugs are almost all edited out. Plus, every Thursday, we drop a new retro radio show, the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show, and the Total Chaos radio show, either from the early 90s or the Attitude Era, go up every Thursday night. I'm a guest with John Arezzi, the host of the show. It was based out of New York from the late 80s through the mid-90s. I'm a frequent guest. Dave Meltzer is. A variety of other journalists, along with big-name wrestlers, and they take calls, and Donnie Leibel with his news update. It's fascinating hearing about the early career of Undertaker and Ric Flair when he was in the mix as a world champion, and our talk about WrestleMania 8 and previewing, you know, Sid and Hulk and Flair versus Savage. It's fascinating stuff. That, again, VIP exclusive. Plus, you get an ad-free version of our website with bonus content, VIP exclusive content, newsletters, articles, columns, and audio podcasts, all available as a VIP member on smartphones, ad-free, and great desktop website also, plus access to 25 plus years, actually close to 3 decades, John, close to 30 years of archives of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and audio shows. So check it out. Go VIP. Here are more details on how you can become a VIP member and details on what comes with a VIP membership. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the every single day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host 3 other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with a 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com and that is mobile friendly and PC and desktop friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Again, thanks to everybody for your support here of the PW Torch Livecast. Sorry to the callers we didn't get to and to the emails we didn't get to, but you can always call the Midweek Flagship. In fact, I talked about Pat and Greg being on hosting tomorrow in my place. Wednesday midday at 1 Eastern, Travis Bryant from the PW Torch East Coast Cast, which is available at eastcoastcast.com. Every midweek. Travis is joining me. Travis Bryant is joining me as the co-host for the Midweek Flagship this week. Thursday, new WWE Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page will be my guest. If you missed it, by the way, some good praise for last Thursday's interview with Disco Inferno. Surprising abundance of compliments for the chemistry that we had, the conversation that we had, and people calling for him to be a regular on the interview Thursday portion of the show. So check that out if you missed it last Thursday, Disco Inferno. Real eclectic mix of topics from Jeff Jarrett as a leader and creative mind to one of the last topics with Mike tonight, talking about the cruiserweight division and what's wrong, what can help, and then a lot of talk just about events in WWE. And I think some on the demise of WCW, all kinds of stuff, locker room politics and WCW. So check that out, too, from last Thursday, Disco Inferno. But coming up this Thursday, Diamond Dallas Page, just like the Wednesday midweek is at 1 Eastern Live, this Thursday, 1 Eastern Live, it is Diamond Dallas Page. And then Thursday night, a lot to talk about this week. Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek doing the post-Impact show. As soon as Impact goes off the air, they are on the air at pwtorchlivecast.com. And they will be talking about the apparent departure of the Hardys and the declaration of the end of the Drew Galloway TNA relationship also. So they'll be discussing that and also this week's TNA Impact and doing trivia and flashback discussions and more. If you're a TNA Impact fan or just want to learn more about that company, definitely check out the Thursday live cast. And then Friday, Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell will be joined by Rich Fan for Prime Time Friday with a week in review. That'll be Friday night at 7 Eastern. Join them live or listen on demand. And then Sunday night, it'll be the post Fastlane. I was hesitating. The post WWE Fastlane event, because they always say WWE Fastlane, as someone pointed out to me. They don't just call it Fastlane. So join us for the join us for the post WWE Fastlane edition of the PW Torch Livecast Sunday night, as soon as the pay-per-view ends. And by the way, Saturday night, a big UFC card, a big UFC pay-per-view. We have all kinds of coverage leading up to the event this week, including full fight card previews and news as it develops, key quotes, and then live coverage on Saturday night, and then all kinds of fallout Sunday and Monday. So if you're a UFC fan and MMA fan, be sure to check out MMATorch.com every day this week in the lead up to Saturday's big fight card. This is some matches I'm very much looking forward to Saturday. And if you're a UFC fan, you're going to want to check out our coverage at MMATorch.com. All right, until next time, Wade Keller thanking you once again for your support and signing off.